How often do you get stung?
Depends. Season, the day, what we're doing. You know, I can go months without getting stung, and then all of a sudden, in a day, I'll get like 30 stings.
What? Don't tell me that.
Hi there. Welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores the Idaho shops, clubs, businesses, and places that you always drive by but never seem to visit. I'm Lacey Daly.
And I'm Joel Wayne.
Welcome.
Welcome, y'all. What's on the docket, LD? What's on the docket, my co-producer, co-host?
We're busy.
Yes.
We are going to take a little trip to Eagle today.
Was busy a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, biz or buzzy.
Okay.
We're going to a bee farm. Steal apiaries.
Because, yeah, is bee farm a thing? Apiary is a thing.
Yeah.
Is bee farm a thing? I don't know.
What
Honey
do you mean
farm?
It's a bee farm.
Is it a term? That's a term, bee farm?
I don't know. Baby horse is a term in my book.
Gosh. It's not a pony. It's a baby horse.
Yeah.
That's what you asked for when you were just a wee child.
A baby horse. So.
Okay. I'm going to guess here that this is not something... You can't just show up at a bee farm.
I debated. I went back and forth. So I was doing a little research, and then I stumbled upon Steel Apiaries, and their website says, come on down to the farm. Hours, Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay.
But I was following them on Instagram and just, you know, following along on their stories, and they seemed really busy. They were in Montana.
Mm.
They seemed to travel a lot. So I did reach out.
Yeah.
They're expecting us.
Okay. I'm curious about, you know, what this experience is going to be like in terms of...
Be like.
I mean, are we putting on these, whatever they call those, suits?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So what's your central concern with the bee farm?
Can it be what's the buzz? Just kidding. I'm just kidding. No. It's actually really like what's the business behind a bee farm? I'm talking like how many bees make how much honey... And how many people do you need on hand to manage that?
Sure.
I have no idea.
Can I piggyback on this a little bit? Can
yeah,
I be back
sure.
a little bit on this
yeah.
one?
Come on.
Can we also ask, too, I'm so curious if this is becoming more and more important, if these
I
if
think
these
it's a valid,
bee farms,
yeah.
You know, with the death of honeybees or the mm-hmm. absence of honeybees mm-hmm. In our world today with climate yeah. change and environment change, you know, too. So
that's important to us. I love them.
Yeah. Yeah. They're great, great little beings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not a pun. I was just trying to not say animals. They're great little things.
Insect? Are they insects?
Don't know.
Hmm. So anyhow, on their website, it says, Sean and Chris Steele have been raising honey and kids for almost 30 years. We now have over 4,000 hives that travel throughout Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Oregon, California, and Washington, pollinating crops and producing incredible honey and beeswax. What?
So many questions.
Right, exactly.
So many questions about that. Traveling?
Yeah.
Like it goes in the back of a minivan and they take it the tour on the road?
Sure. And what?
Steele Apiaries and the bee farm? I don't, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious about that process in general because that obviously seems to be a big part of their business. But yeah, just going to check out what the farm's like.
Mm-hmm.
Are the bees at the same place that they're making the honey? Does that happen on the same plot of land? I don't know.
Yeah. And then pollinating these specific, like,
yeah.
do they go to orchards or what? What are they pollinating?
Lots of questions.
Okay. Great. Should we take a break? Head to the bee farm, get some bee juice?
Yeah.
Pop quiz, LD. What's going on with the I-84 construction between Karcher and Franklin Boulevard?
Well, they're widening I-84, so it will have three lanes in both directions. Plus, it'll also have a fourth auxiliary lane between the interchanges, so drivers can get on and off I-84 without merging through traffic.
I can't stump you. What gives?
Dude, it's all on ITD's podcast, Drive Idaho.
Okay, I guess I gotta listen more often.
Yeah, no kidding. Drive Idaho is a podcast devoted to providing news and information about road projects right here in the Treasure Valley.
Okay, so where do we find this podcast?
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe today.
All right, so we just pulled in
yeah.
to Steel Apiaries.
Yeah.
It honestly, it's like a neighborhood, an Eagle, amongst houses here, and we just pulled down this little... paved driveway, and it looks like this might even be where they live. There's like playground
yeah.
stuff, horses.
huge piles of hay bales. It looks like a family farm.
Yeah.
And it's not as if I'm seeing... It's like you don't know what to expect with these things, too. It's like, was I expecting to you know, pull straight up to there's just a bunch of beehives directly in front of us or something? I have no clue, really. And I don't know, too. It's like, are there a lot of hives here on site?
Right.
Or are there a bunch of off-site locations?
That's what...
Are they traveling? Are they touring?
I'm not sure.
You know?
Yeah. So I guess the only way to find out... And I think maybe we go into this house-looking building here.
Mm-hmm.
And see if we can't find whomever we were corresponding with on Instagram.
Yeah.
And get this thing started. Shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
We head over to the main building, which has steel apiaries and honey for sale signs in front. We don't get an answer at the door, so we try the number listed on one of the signs, and after a few minutes, someone emerges.
Hi there.
This is Sean Steele, the owner of Steel Apiaries, who has zero clue who coordinated the visit with us on Instagram, or, to be fair, what Instagram is. But Sean is generous enough to chat with us until we figure it out.
I have some employees that are really, really good and do a lot of studying and stuff, and I just haven't done that much. And, like, there's people that raise queens. They just sell queens, and I buy thousands of queens. And a young queen does so much better than an old one.
Why?
Because she's young.
She's more attractive?
No, maybe. I don't know.
Where do you buy a young queen?
Amazon.
Amazon, I wish. You know, in different times of the year, you can only buy them certain places, you know. I buy a lot of them from Hawaii. They sell lots and lots and lots of queens.
Just like a different world.
And the queens are pretty expensive. You know, they've got up over $30 now. And I bought probably 3,000.
How'd you get into the honey game?
You know, my dad did bees, and so he had some. But he worked full-time with Idaho Power. And us kids, there was about six or seven of us boys went into business together, and we had the bees, and we had a roofing outfit, and we were farming about 1,000 acres. And we were all together, and it worked pretty good till half of them got married and some of them didn't. And so then it kind of got sticky, but it was still pretty good. We were doing all right. And then back in the 70s, the housing market took a big crunch, and we had a whole bunch of people go broke.
Oh, yeah.
And owed us a lot of money. Maybe she's the one that set it up. Yeah, Rachel, did you set this thing up?
Mystery solved. We learned that Sean's son, Brig, is the one who coordinated the tour with us. Brig appears in short order with his brother-in-law, Goose, who were both held up moving a load of bees that just came in from North Dakota. If you're confused about that, we were too, so listen on. Brig talks first, with Goose chiming in the background.
Everything's coming back from Montana, North Dakota, Washington. This is when you're pretty much done making honey. And so everything will come home, and then we'll treat everything and make sure, you know, take out all of our bees that have died and try to
get them up to weight.
Yeah, fix as much as we can, and then we'll stick them in a building and hibernate them until about January. Then we'll go to California with them.
Okay, you said get them up to weight. This is the sucrose,
the mixture,
syrup, sugar, and that type of thing. But also, blend. How do you weigh them? Do you just do the box?
Just opinion. Opinion. So they mostly store all their honey in their upper brood box, and then the bottom one's more for brood. So you just kind of pick it up. Judge the weight. Like, all right, this one seems like it needs 2 gallons, or this one needs a gallon.
Interesting. And you just get good at that, I'm assuming, over time.
Yeah, some people are better than others. Yeah.
Some are a little heavier, some are a little lighter. The main thing is just to make sure they don't starve and that they're not too heavy where they can't have enough bees in them to survive the winter.
The comb is so full of honey, they won't have a place to lay any eggs.
Oh.
So you don't want that.
It's fun. It's kind of like you go through the hives and you look at them, and they're just fascinating creatures. And so when you have like a good hive, you just feel good about like what's going on, your work. It's kind of like a natural high. And then when you go through like bad bees, you're just like so down. You're like, oh, what the crap went on? Like you think about it at night. You can't sleep sometimes. It takes over your life.
Rick puts the annual losses into perspective as someone who operates a local apiary.
Last year we lost probably 50-60% of our bees. Last year. So the national average is like 25 to 30. And it's kind of crazy because if you think about it, like if it was cows or horses, or I mean, if somebody lost 60% of their livestock,
right.
of their,
yeah.
it's like,
yeah.
it'd be insane.
Yeah.
We ask if they believe climate change is the culprit, and the answer is partly, but there are a bunch of other things working against bees too.
Loss of habitat seems pretty big. I mean, Idaho used to be, I think it still is, the 10th most honey-producing state, but there's so many beekeepers here in the area, the bees don't actually produce that much honey here in the Treasure Valley. You know, you're not getting as much as you would back in the day or something, and then just a lot of the farm grounds are getting developed into houses, and
people,
you know,
spray, like, people spray the edges, everything, all the weeds, they make honey on all these different type of weeds that,
yeah,
that
like
blossom.
Purple loosestrife used to be an obnoxious weed and stuff that they tried to get rid of.
Thistles
they can make honey off of, and it's obnoxious.
So you're telling me,
but nowadays it's like if your fence lines aren't sprayed, and like if you have weeds all over your place, like you know, it's like, look at this guy.
Depend, you can get fined. You mentioned HOAs, you can get fined for some of that stuff. And then the same thing, I mean, the city's going through and doing that as well, right?
So I have a question, a dumb question. I'm one of those people that plants plants for bees because I just know that bees are struggling and I like them. But I actually know very little about them. So what are the chances that the bees that are coming to my house are actually, like, going to a beekeeper to make honey? Like, do they make honey on their own?
So I would say a majority of bees in the Treasure Valley, somebody owns them. Almost all the bees in the valley are going to be beekeepers.
And since there is all these new things that are harming the bees, or the bees are having a hard time making a living, I mean, we baby them. Like, we're in them. Every month, every couple of weeks, we're trying to go back and look at our bees and make sure they're okay. So if it's a hive that's just gone by itself, it's probably not.
There's some wild ones that they survive, you know, for a couple of years, but most cases they're not going
to
make it.
Brig grabs some bee suits and we jump in the car to follow he and Goose to the honey extraction plant a few miles down the road. The extraction plant is an aluminum-sided warehouse in the middle of juniper and sagebrush fields down a private dirt road. Inside, they begin the tour, first showing us buckets of tea they feed the bees, brewed from a white oak bark. But not before LD asks a few really simple questions.
Honey. Like, what is honey?
Yes.
What, like, I don't get it. I understand that bees pollinate flowers and they make honey, but I don't get it. It's not bee poop, right? Like,
no, honey. Bee throw up, basically.
Oh, okay.
It's the nectar. So they'll get the nectar from the flower.
Yeah, it's the flower. It's the juice the flower makes. And so they'll go in and certain plants make different kinds of nectar. So you have different kinds of honey.
Bees taking it from the flower.
Uh-huh.
And putting it in the hive?
Yep, they'll put it in the hive.
But
well,
like,
their
does
body
the bee
first does something, breaks it down.
Okay, so like nobody could do this but bees.
Yeah, no.
Like,
yeah.
You can't use a machine to extract this.
No, they have
this.
A special body that breaks it down.
A special body.
Changes it, you know.
So, they bring it back to the hive, but, like, are bees only on one type of plant, or do they, like...
No.
No, they'll get on everything. And that's
anything.
Why some people will be like, well, what plant did this come from? And we're like, well...
Well, okay.
Millions of plants, we don't know.
Why does the color look different?
Yeah.
Well, when we ship our bees out to get sweet clover, it's mostly just sweet clover, so we say it's sweet clover,
right.
But if there's, like, a thistle or something, it's going to have thistle in it, too.
Right.
It just doesn't have as much.
It's just the majority of what they're... Okay, gotcha.
Next, they show us the hot room, where the honey is warmed and begins its first step in the extraction process. I feel like I should also note the smell in this room. It's incredibly dense and earthy, like nothing I've ever experienced before. It's like the smell of mold and boiling sugar mixed together.
And we'll put the honey in here and just heat it up so it's like 90s. We'll just keep this hot. We call it a hot room.
Why? Just because it's easier to
it's
work
easier
with?
It's easier to extract, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
They show us a typical honey box next with frames that are full of Idaho honey, which we're able to sample.
So that's what it'll come into this building. It'll come in just like this.
And this is Idaho.
Huh. So it's a little bit darker.
You can taste it.
What?
But see how it doesn't really flow? It's kind of, it's because it's not warmed up.
Because this, you're not warming
it
up right
now.
Yeah.
Then they show us the rest of the extraction process.
So you'll start here.
Yeah.
Someone will scrape the wax off the top of the frames because the bees will build wax as they're making honey, because it's the same thing. When they're making honey, they make wax. So that's why we have the decapper, just to take the top layer. Some people use a hot knife. One guy will stand here, he'll throw them on two at a time, three at a time, just as fast as this guy can keep up. And then you just stick them in here, stick them and push them until this whole thing's full. It takes about 20 to 30 frames in each basket.
Here, slide it to me. Slide it down to him. Don't slide it down to me. And then I'll light it into this machine. This is called an extractor, this one here.
And then it's centrifugal force.
Yep.
Oh, it just spins.
Yep, and then it'll just spin them out. So then it'll all drain and it'll go over through this machine that kind of heats it up, heats up the wax a little bit more, kind of get that wax ready to come out. And it'll come over here to this machine.
Yeah. What time of year is this like the busiest for you in terms of the honey?
Summer. So we just quit.
July, August. Yeah.
It's hot in here then. Are you dying in here then?
Yeah. We'll open the doors and have fans.
Because you already have the hot room there then too. And then,
Big fans. We usually
have. Don't have the wasps coming in?
Yeah, we have wasps all over.
Oh God, this would be my nightmare.
But see, you want to pull the honey and not take bees.
Any bees.
You want to leave the bees. But when you're in a hurry and you're behind and stuff, sometimes people pull bees.
You don't.
Sometimes people pull bees. Yeah,
sometimes they do, but you don't.
We extracted some honey for a guy from Washington. He came down, and my dad was like, dude, this is crazy. Like, there was bees. It was boxes of bees. And so we have to put them in the hot room, and then you're pulling them out.
And
they're you don't wear a suit. It's already hot, and so there was bees everywhere. It was bad. Everybody was mad. Everybody was getting stung.
Like I said, you get stung maybe 40 times in a day.
And so we have some kids, some high school kids, and some younger kids that come help us that haven't been around bees very much, and so it's hard to really.
They dub it honey hell.
We go from the extraction line into the larger part of the warehouse. There are forklifts and trucks, stacks of new and old bee boxes reaching to the ceiling, and full and empty 55-gallon barrels of honey.
Like, what's the percentage then for kind of what the business is in terms of honey versus pollinating, you know, shipping the bees around? I'm sure it fluctuates every year, right?
Are you making more money on honey or?
No, pollination's our biggest money.
It's probably 30-70 probably.
Mm. Well, they say that pollination pays for your business to, like, stay in business, pay for your employees, your machinery, your upkeep and everything, and then honey's kind of like, might be some of the money you have left over to invest or do more stuff with.
Then we take a look at several pallets of beeswax, another component of the apiary business.
And then over in this corner is where we melt our wax down. So all those cappings and stuff in the wax separator, we'll throw the wax into big barrels. So we'll throw water in there and get it to double walled, heat up the water, and the water heats up the other water inside, melts the wax, and then it comes out like this. It's real clean and nice looking, whereas then you have some darker, dirtier wax and
it'll
stuff
just have
like
more
this.
Dirt in it.
What do people use it for? All different kinds of things, or they just
there's
do
so much?
Yeah,
lip balm.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah, yeah. It looks like bird's bees.
Quilters use it on their thread. They'll
stick
their needle through.
They start making like covers. They have like these covers that they dip in wax, and then you cover
like
your
saran wrap.
It's like
cover.
Saran wrap, but it's wax.
I've seen
wax
yeah.
is an antibacterial.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually seen those.
Oh, I have one of those.
There's like a million things you can do with beeswax.
Yeah.
We wrap up in the extraction warehouse and drive a few miles down the road to one of the bee yards, where a number of hives are kept. We do a quick costume change, me into a brand new beekeeper suit, and Joel into an older one with a name sewn onto the chest. Patty.
Gloves. You can keep your hands in
here.
Hands in, and then you can wear those if you want. You want to zip it up. Your patty.
Yeah.
You can wear the patty.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, as I want to be, Patty.
So my dad went to Montana and forgot his suit, so he took her suit. She had it embroidered, and so he still wears it like all over the place. We'll be in California.
Really?
You know, there's like hundreds of beekeepers, and he's wearing his.
Got it. I know. I'm not even helping. I'm just watching you struggle.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, Patty.
But so everybody makes fun of him because he has Patty's suit on.
In the background, you can hear Goose getting a smoker going, which is a handheld bellow system that looks a bit like a tea kettle, which emits tiny puffs of smoke out of its mouth.
You're getting smoke ready now.
Yeah.
Oh, it smells
so good. Just burlap.
What do you mean it's just burlap?
Burlap sack, cut up.
Oh, okay.
Here, I can... So it just
burlap. And it just smolders.
Yeah, so it's just easier for us to light it. Super easy to light. Puts off a good smoke.
We get our outfits fully zipped up, hoods pulled up over the headphones, gloves on. Then we head out into the bees.
So, you work a lot with farmers and stuff, because we don't have all the land to put these bees on and stuff, so you get to know people, and
I'll get you a good one.
They either want to help the bees or they know you some reason, and so we usually give out honey in return. See, so you can smoke them.
You smoke. Oh, and then you go through the hole in the box. Okay.
Well, you don't have to, okay. But those are the guard bees.
Uh huh.
And so they kind of, they're a little more defensive, protecting
like
and stuff.
Here, let's.
So then
when you pop it,
you pop it and see how they're on the lid.
Whoa.
So we already scraped these lids with wax.
Whoa.
This one obviously didn't get scraped that well. So there's your hive. So the same with the bees as we do it when we're getting ready. Usually your outside ones are honey, and then you'll go pollen or honey right here. And then these center ones are more brood. And your queen's more likely to be in here. She's usually not on your honey ones, but she can be. So when you're going through a hive, you usually want to start somewhere on the outside because it's kind of a tight space, just so you don't squish or roll your queen on accident when you're pulling that first one out. And so the queen's not on this one. We just replaced some of their honey because this one didn't have enough, so we fed them a couple days ago, and they just put it in there, stored it, see?
Oh, yeah.
A little syrup. See how light it is?
Yeah.
And then they have pollen right there, different colors of pollen. And so that's your typical outside frame. And then you just kind of go through it. During these colder times, she's usually in the top box because that's where more your heat is. She's pretty much shut down, but this one, she's still going. So now that we've fed her again, you have to get the right angle, but there's a little stick.
It almost looks like a piece of pencil lead that's white.
So at the very bottom of there, there's like a little piece of mechanical pencil lead. It's a little egg that she just laid.
Oh.
And so when you want to make sure you have a queen in your hive, you either look for a little piece like that. Mm-hmm. You don't actually want the larva because the larva could be a couple days, weeks old.
Hmm.
Whereas that one you know is super fresh and she's laying and she's working and she's a good queen. So we know this hive has a queen because we see that. Or you actually see her herself.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. I can just tell that you guys do this all the time. Because I'm sitting here in a full suit of armor.
Feels
and there's
really disconcerting for you.
I know that I'm protected, but I'm still like, why is there yellow
on? That's pollen.
Oh.
Mm. So he went out. Ah. Did you guys see that goldrod as we came in?
The one?
The bush that had the yellow on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll go get some pollen off of that, and they'll make a little bit of honey off of that. And so this area is actually pretty dry. It's not that great for...
Yeah. Look at, you have some antelope in our bee yard.
It's not that great for actually having bees here all the time. But once we ship everything back here home from out of state, then we need to have... just places to put them. So we wouldn't keep bees here all the time just because it's not the right habitat.
Not quite ideal for it.
If there was more plants and stuff that they could work on, then great. I mean, there's plenty of space. It's just there's no honey producing plants out here.
Yeah.
So that's one hive. And this is what we want our hives to look like right now.
Yeah,
this is a good hive full of bees.
Yeah.
Every frame's just packed.
Look at those guys, orange and yellow. Mm-hmm.
Every frame's just packed top to bottom with bees.
So how many bees then are in the...
About 50,000.
50,000?
Somewhere in there, 30 to 50,000.
Then Briggs spots the queen.
Got her. I got her.
You got her. You did it.
You did.
I see her.
She's easy.
Yeah, she's got a big head.
Right here.
Right there.
See how she's longer?
Yeah.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
So they'll get to... Some of them have dots on them. Some
Some
queen breeders will put a dot on her back.
You see that black mark on her back?
And so then you'll...
And he and Goose tell us a bit about how the queen acts and how the others respond to her. Also, male bees, deadbeats.
But see how they kind of face her? See how all three of those were facing her and watch her move around? See those two are following her and that one starts facing
her?
They
kind of turn and face her and she'll
kind of... That one's on top of her. She'll get mad and like kind of... I've seen them where they get kind of like get out of my way and they'll start like pushing them away. But
yeah, she's doing good.
Yeah, she looks nice.
She's an older queen. You see how her wings are kind of tattered.
Yeah.
And eaten up a little bit. And she's kind of shinier.
Hmm.
Look at that. He's like trying to get
into
her. She's like, get out of here.
I'd say she's probably like a year or two.
Wow.
And the only bees that work and really do stuff are the females. They're the only ones that can sting you. They go grab all the nectar, all the pollen.
Wait.
The male bees don't do
that. The male bees are only good to make
Wait, so all these worker bees are female?
Yep, all those bees are female. Yep.
Did you know that?
No.
Yep, they're all females.
Yep. I assumed they were all males.
Everything you just seen on there was female.
Oh.
And then,
so the males are out.
But then when times get tough, all these females, they'll kick the males to the bottom and they'll kick them out and they'll die.
Because they don't
do anything.
So
when times are good, the males, they'll feed them, they'll keep them around, you know, and do everything, and they'll go out and do their mate if they're lucky. Other than that, they just kind of hang around the house and feed and fly around.
And so that's why it's like they don't have enough feed for all these male bees, so they'll just start kicking them out.
And so that's why you don't see any males in there right now.
Well, I mean, I assume they were all males.
Yeah, no, those are all females. Yeah,
gotcha. So male bees don't come to my flowers?
Nope.
What
are they doing?
Male bees don't have stingers.
They're not doing anything, apparently.
They pretty much just hang around.
And oh.
What is that shirt? They make a drone shirt that's like,
eat, mate, die
or something.
We finish up in the bees and finally head back to the farm to sample some honey. Joel buys a Steel Farms hat, and we thank Goose and Brig for their time. And because we've been in and out of the car so much, we leave the recap for the studio after we take a quick ad break. Joel, what's one thing you think our listeners have in common?
They think we're funny.
Okay, less about us and more about the podcast here. All the places we visited are in...
Idaho.
Yes. So our listeners probably enjoy exploring and learning about Idaho?
Yeah, I'd take that bet.
So don't you think that they should check out the Idaho State Museum?
Totally. It has so many exhibits and all this information about this great state of ours.
We're talking over 500 artifacts, 46 multimedia displays, and nearly 900 photographs that all help tell the story of the people and landscapes of Idaho. Doesn't that sound like something our listeners would be into?
I think they'd really dig it.
Learn more about upcoming exhibits, museum hours, admission pricing, and special events at history.idaho.gov. Here we are, post bee farm. What are your first thoughts?
First impressions, and this was really a happenstance one. Talking with Sean, the owner of the farm, of Steel Apiaries, the kind of the patriarch of it, who took it over from his own father, I just honestly wanted to post up and hear more about his life. He's the one who transitioned the family farm over to honey. He's grown it into this business that crisscrosses the states. And he's obviously very generous with his time. We showed up and he had no idea that we were coming. And then, you know.
Podcast? I don't know what a podcast is.
Comes out there, you know. And we didn't include this, but he was open about he has MS and uses a walker and is still plugging away as the only person who has a commercial driver's license on the farm.
Yeah.
He was just a really interesting guy to me.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I thought they all were very giving of their time. Obviously, Sean not expecting us, but Brig and Goose as well. Goose had no idea what was going on, and I believe we caught him as he was trying to heat up lasagna for lunch. And Brig is just like, come on, get in the truck. We're going. We're taking these guys around.
Yeah. So what about your central concern?
The business of bees.
Yeah. Remind me how kind of you framed that.
I just kind of wanted to know about the business of bees.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, no, like, I said, you know, like, how many bees make how much honey and how lucrative is that?
Sure.
I just don't know what all goes into it. And I have to say, I learned a lot more than I thought. There's kind of like the three tenets of beekeeping. It's the honey, the beeswax, and then the pollinating. And I actually had no idea about the pollinating business, and I had no idea that it was kind of the money-making part of beekeeping.
Right.
I would have thought it was honey, but I think the way that they framed it was pollinating pays for, you know, like the employees, the equipment, whatnot, and anything that you make off of maybe honey and beeswax is what you get to reinvest.
Right. Yeah, it was really interesting.
So, final takeaways?
I guess two things. One, on the whole, I end up feeling this soft spot for small family farmers. And maybe it's because my father-in-law is a retired family farmer, or it's just because it's a tougher and tougher gig in our world right now. I guess I just feel myself wanting to support businesses like this that are facing steeper opposition, both, you know, corporate buyouts, environmental concerns, these increasing environmental concerns, and otherwise. I bought a hat.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit, I bought a Steel Apiaries hat, which I kind of love.
Are you going to buy their honey versus like Winco store
totally
brand
would.
Honey?
Yeah, I absolutely would. Actually, even that that very night, I took the two different kinds of honeys, and we were meeting somebody for a birthday party thing, and I took them along, and we did like this impromptu tasting where like 12 people, and they like all dug it. It was really, really cool to go through and do, which maybe feeds into the second part of it. And this is going to sound like I'm a little kid in its first biology class. Bees are amazing.
Yes.
Bees are amazing. How they organize the hive, how they produce wax and honey, how they pollinate, how they guard the queen, how they remove dead bees out of the hive, and male bees aren't doing anything when times are tough, and how they keep it clean. They kept talking, Goose and Brig kept talking about being in the bees. I don't know if anybody else noticed that, but in the bees, you know, we're in the bees. And it's one of those terms that's like, that's kind of magical, you know? It's like taking the waters, you know, or something like that. Like, it's like a spring-fed type of, I don't know, it's very healing or something.
I've been smiling this whole time. I don't know. I guess my final takeaway was I didn't realize how much I would enjoy it. You're smiling now, too.
I know. So happy.
The bees.
We're in the bees, metaphorically.
I think that it filled a lot of buckets for me personally or selfishly. I think that I do really enjoy observing things in their mostly natural habitat. I don't know if I've gone on record to say this on this podcast, but I could totally see myself getting into bird watching in retirement. Mm. So this kind of went along with that. And then I love learning about processes and seeing behind the scenes, and this did absolutely that. And now I don't have a problem buying steel apiary honey at the co-op. Like, let's be honest, honey is not cheap. But now I kind of understand more about it.
What and
like
goes you said, into it and what
getting
you're,
attached
what you're
to the family and seeing what they're going through, I want to help.
Yeah. Help, but then also, too, you're getting such a cool product, such a good product then on the back end, too. So, yeah, let's go be in the bees.
You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio.
And if you like the podcast, consider supporting the podcast.
Absolutely. This really is a passion project for us, and we'd like to continue making episodes.
But there are no guarantees. So if you'd like us to make another season of the podcast, consider donating $20, $10, or even $5 to keep us in business.
Go visit youknowtheplacepodcast.com and click on the support link on our homepage to make a secure donation.
And I'll tell you what, if 100 of you donate, we'll set up a time to meet in downtown Boise to share a drink and hang out.
With 100 people? Also, tell your friends about the podcast. Rate and review it wherever you listen. Just help us get the word out there, team.
Anything else?
Our sole credit. Our music is James Dean Kindle and the Eastern Oregon Playboys, who's been a supporter since the very beginning.
Tenderoms reach out to me from across.